Glory to God. What a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. We got down here on earth. We started living life, writing our book of life. God came to us. He took that, said, I don't need that. Threw it away. Showed us that we were in the Lamb's book of life. That we had a story. Glory to God. That wasn't written by ink. It was written by the blood of the Lamb before the foundation of the world. And nobody can erase it away. Glory to God.
Oh,
hallelujah. We're not just patched over, church. We're restored. We're brought back. That's fine, Dad. Praise the Lord today. Hallelujah. You know, I was just reading Brother Branham's Christmas message from 1962. And it was the falling apart of the world. What a Christmas message, you know. But he was saying there was a man who's said he was dying of cancer, and they said he had about 2 weeks to live. And he'd get up in the morning and said, you know what, this is a good day. You know why? Because I got a day, so it's a good day, you know. And I think we need to maybe do that a little bit in our lives. Realize you didn't have to wake up today. You didn't have to feel good. You didn't have to have a desire to come to the house of God, but you did.
Amen.
Amen. The baseball team at school's got a slogan. I mean, it was last year, but it said, it's a good day for a good day. It's a good day for a good day. Amen. And service is just the same. You get what you expect. If you come to just have church, well, that's about all you'll get. But if you come where two or three are gathered, where Jesus Christ is in the midst, where He comes and speaks to us, and He changes your soul. He does what no man can do. He'll be here. He'll do it. Well, He's going to be here either way, but whether you get any benefits is up to your faith today. I'd like to speak on that for a little bit. If you got your Bibles, praise the Lord. Acts chapter 19. And then we'll flip over to James right after that. Praise God. So it's such a beautiful day. For the Christian, that is. We're living in the most glorious time there's ever been. Just love reading the Word of God, and it doesn't matter what you read in it anymore. There's just revelation there. And before this message came, these stories were just stories. But now it's, Lord, that's me, or that's what I'm going through. And it's repeating again, but I know how to get the victory because I can watch it right here in the Word, how they did it. And you're still the same today. What a revelation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. And certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Let's turn to James then, right there after Hebrews. James chapter 4. Let's just read. Actually, let's read verse 2 and 3. James 4, 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. It might seem kind of a strange couple of scriptures there, but I'd like to preach this afternoon frivolous faith. Frivolous faith. And we'll explain that here in a minute, but we can bow our heads together as we approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It wasn't too proud, but He'd be humble enough to come here and be with us today. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up before Him with a raised hand? And say, Lord, You know my heart, and I've got faith to believe You today. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You're so beautiful and glorious, Lord. Before we thought we knew You, and every day it's just a new revelation. It's just a better picture. And every time, Lord, You just get more beautiful and more glorious. And, And Lord, as a Christian in our hearts, we just get more appreciative of what you've done for us, Lord. How you, every day, you keep us healthy and strong and provide for our needs and all these things that you don't have to do, but you do for us, Lord. And we so appreciate it today. And we come to the house of God with thanksgiving in our hearts and giving you the sacrifice of praise, giving our lives back to you, a living sacrifice that you might be glorified through our life, Lord. And we pray that you'd come, take the word and speak to us, Lord, from heaven. That would be a mighty thundering in our souls. It would shake us away from anything in this world, and it'd prepare us to leave, for we know that you're coming so intimate. Lord, bless the children that's here today, the children of God. If there's some that aren't, may they become children of God by the Holy Ghost today and find their position in the body of Christ. Heal our sicknesses. Heal us of our backslidings. Heal us, Lord, of anything that the devil's done in our lives, and be glorified in our lives, we pray. Speak through my lips, Lord, by the word and by the Spirit. But God, may all of our hearts be open to receive what you tell us. For we ask it in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated today. Praise the Lord. If you read a little bit earlier in the book of James, James says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a man or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Now we know that God-given faith is different than mental faith. It's different than intellectual faith. When James picks up this scripture, it's those people that say they believe, but yet when it comes down to it, there's no life being lived for God. There's no signs of a believer that Jesus promised would follow the believer. And what begins to happen is what they call faith is what we're going to define today is just frivolous faith. Amen. If you look up the word frivolous, and I can't tell you, it's not a word I use every day. I don't think any of us really do. But it just came to me. I was just studying frivolous faith. So I went and looked it up. Frivolous means, it's dictionary.com now, it's an adjective, and it says characterized by lack of seriousness or sense. Self-indulgently carefree. So what is that? It's something that's frivolous. It means that you're doing it for yourself and you're just careless because as long as you benefit, that's all that matters. Oh my. Unconcerned about or lacking any serious purpose. Of little or no weight, worth or importance. Not worthy of serious notice. And they had synonyms on here. Synonym means a word that means about the same. They've got idle, silly, foolish, childish, light, trifling, petty, trivial, flimsy. And some antonyms are serious and weighty. Hallelujah. So you look at what we're talking about here in the sons of Sceva, and we've heard this story many times, but I like to really delve into this. If you look first, they were vagabond Jews. It means they're going from pillar to post. Didn't know what they believed. They said, well, we're supposed to be Jews, but here's this Jesus coming on the scene, and he's moving through these apostles, and they have mighty works going on, and we don't see that at our church, but we ain't got enough backbone to leave that church. We're just going to sit here right in the middle and just kind of float around.
Oh, my.
And say, well, the message could be right, but it don't have to be. You have to receive it to be saved, but not really. You can talk bad about it and make fun of it, but you're not really blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Because it's just a man anyways. Paul, I know. The devil recognized the presence of God more than most of the religious people in their day. That's right. But what happened? The vagabond Jews, they claimed to be exorcists. They made it their job to cast out devils. They took it upon themselves. They weren't sent. They went. There's a big difference between being sent by God and going on your own. Moses, even with the genuine calling, now these men didn't have that, but Moses did. He had a genuine calling of God. But when he came to age and he saw the Israelites fighting against each other, he took it upon himself to fulfill the call of God in his life. And he got one Egyptian, you know. There was one sign happened here, but he's miserable. He's scared. He can't take on real challenges. Gets healed of a headache, scared of a toothache. Come on now. overcome one thing, can't overcome 100 others. But when he got away from that, God called him and sent him, that was a different story. God told Moses, don't you even worry about you. Go ahead and take your shoes off because I'm going to step in them and go down there. Pharaoh heard Moses saying, let my people go. But it wasn't Moses. It was God telling Pharaoh, you better let my people go. A lot of difference between sent and went. And any Christian that served God a little bit, you've went a few times, and it just don't work. Hallelujah. But why is it? It's because you're working in frivolous faith. You're working in, well, it'd be really cool if we saw the sick healed. It'd be really cool to be a great Christian. Man, wouldn't everybody think a lot of me if I did this and I did that and I gave to the poor and I helped the widow? And I put it on Facebook, make sure everybody knew I was such a great Christian and tagged everybody in it so they'd all know it was me. Hallelujah. And they wonder why God can't come on the scene, because he already told you, you receive your reward when you do that. But he said, when you pray, when you ask God, when you want miracles, go to your closet. And what you do in secret, God will publish in the skies. Hallelujah. But these sons of Sceva didn't have that. They wanted to show up Jesus. They wanted to show up Paul. Come on now. And say, we believe that in this power of God, but we don't believe we got to do it your way. We can just do it any old way we want to. We can be frivolous in how we apply this word. Amen. You know, when the prophet says we have to do these things, I mean, that's just his opinion. We can do whatever we want.
Oh, yeah.
Glory to God. I mean, I know he said that about church order, and I know he said that we should read the Bibles and pray every day, but I don't know if I really need to do that. Well, you don't. You don't need to do anything. But it ain't going to do you no good not to. I'll tell you that right now. But if you're a Christian, how don't you want to? Much less need to. Are you kidding me? I want to do it so bad you can't keep it out of my hands.
Amen.
Amen. Look, if you worship something, you can't stop a man from worshiping it. That's right. I don't care if you kick out the TV. If you still love football, you'll find a way to watch it anyhow.
Sure.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I just had to endure that yesterday. Went to a birthday party. And it got there. They had to watch the Buckeyes. I went downstairs and tried to talk to somebody. Toward the end, I wanted to go see my brother-in-law. Go up there. He's got TV blaring, so of course I'm. And I get engaged in the last 5 minutes of the game. They go ahead and lose it. And I said, this is why I hate this. Because you're putting a part of yourself in something that is destined to fail.
Amen.
I'm not used to that. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
When I put my heart into word, it never fails me. I'm not used to living disappointment, and too many of us are as Christians because you're not putting real, genuine faith in the Word of God.
Yes.
You've got frivolous faith. Yes. You've got carefree faith. It's petty. It's. I asked God to give me $100. You didn't even come to church.
That's right.
Come on.
Amen.
Let's just say it like it is. I know in my heart that the prophet told me I should be there every time I can.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'll just go over the top of it. I don't know. I'll just be a little carefree about it.
What?
And you wonder why you can't get the results. You're living a hypocritical life. Not because the pastor said, not because Brother Branham, because in your heart you know it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
People so worried about a man judging them. They were in Jesus' day. And Jesus said, you don't even have to worry about Moses or me or nothing. The Word will condemn you in that day.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. They came, and if you look at the background of these Jews, they were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest.
Yes, sir.
They had some stock behind them.
Right.
They had been in the message for a while.
Sure.
They had been accepted by the long-timers. They were there with Brother Branham. They saw it.
Right.
But if you don't say what he said, you ain't got what he got.
Right.
Hallelujah. They were trying to trust in their prestige that we're the sons of a great priest. We should be able to do this more than these bunch of... Who's Peter? Who's Paul? Who are these guys? They're a bunch of chumps. They're the ones that weren't good enough to make it in high school. Come on now. They were the ones that weren't good enough. I was smarter than them. When we went to the synagogue, when we went in the Sanhedrin, that's why Paul backed out, because he just couldn't cut it. Yeah, this conversion story. Yeah, sure. You knew Jehoshaphat over here was just going to beat him. So he had to get out and he got all worked up something. If he can cast out devils, surely I can.
Right. No problem.
Didn't work. That's right. It didn't work at all. Not only that, but they didn't just lose. They got stomped on. They left naked, beaten, and torn. But what did it do? It doesn't matter what happens in this life. It ain't our business. God will get the glory. That's right. If you're not going to be a good example, He'll get the glory because you'll be a bad one and you'll prove His word was right the whole time. But I say, God, I don't want to be a vessel of dishonor. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be someone that you can work through and receive the glory. Hallelujah. That even though I go through hard times, even though I've got hard trials, I don't want to just be wavering around and just carefree. I want to be serious about my relationship with God. I want to think that my life is always reflecting Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody hear me today. And actually care when people look at my life and I go, it's just so hard today. I'm just so tired and so wore out. I just can't do. Get that out of your language. You glorify God. It's a good day. Why? Because I'm a Christian. And I got something the world can't give. I got eternal life. It will not end. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Open up your mouth a little bit and give God some praise today. Amen. It'll do you good. Trust me. You're just a legalist. No, I just hate the devil. And I've given him too much glory in my life as is. Last thing I want to do is let him mope me around, especially in the house of God. It's the last place we should be sad.
Right.
Unless you're a sinner, we'll get right. There you go. But I claim to be a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I got something worth being happy about because my faith isn't frivolous. It's planted in the Word of God, and the signs that the Bible said would follow do.
Amen.
We pray for the sick, they get well. Glory to God. When a devil gets into people's lives, we can cast it out.
Amen.
Not like these vagabond Jews who try to get some secondhand revelation, and don't you do the same. It will not work. Amen. Too many people want the pastor's faith. Too many people want Brother Branham's faith. Well, if I play a tape, then I'll be able to believe. I mean, that's good playing tapes. You ought to do that. But if that's your God, you made an idol. God's not on tapes, just the tape. You know, He's still God. He's not just His book, though He is. He's still a being. And He's here today. He's here right now. He's preaching to you because I didn't even turn a page yet. And I didn't think I'd be talking this long on this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who wants faith? That's just mental anyways. What good does that do? Go see a psychologist. What's the difference? Too many Christians, that's all we got. Psychology, you just mental workup, makes you feel good. That ain't what I'm talking about. Faith is not fiction. Faith is real. Faith is more real than this pulpit up here. Faith's more real than this physical Bible, because this will perish, but the Word will not.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
The Pharisees, they had frivolous faith all the time. You know, Jesus came to them. I'm just reading this. I'm kind of warm. Maybe y'all are doing better than me, but whew. Trying to survive. That's all right. No, I've already survived. I've already made it. Amen. Matthew 23:23 says this. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weighty of matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to have left others undone." Why? That's frivolous faith. It's knowing in my heart, I don't really care about God. In my heart, I really don't care about the church people. In my heart, it doesn't really matter if that sinner goes to hell. All I want to do is go through my religion and feel good about myself. And if I get down, I better have a preacher come pump me up, or I'm going to somebody else's church.
Sure.
Well, just go listen to Joel Osteen, then you'll be all right. He'll get you encouraged. But that's about it. Encourage you to fall off a cliff someday, because that's where that's going.
Right.
That's right, but I don't want that. I want the truth. I want, if I got cancer, we got to do something. Well, if I need treatment, I need treatment. Holy Ghost, come touch me and change me. And if I got something in my soul creeping in that's making my love cold toward man's kind, then I'm losing the love of God. And that ain't the way a Christian's supposed to be. Real faith will step up and say, "I am the word for this day. Satan, get out."
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Don't get a Pharisee. Well, I go to church and I pay tithes and I do read my Bible and stuff, and get all religious to the point where you don't have faith, where you don't have love, where you don't pray for one another, where you don't care about the actual building, or not the building. I don't care about the building, about the people in the building.
Amen.
Too many times we build a building instead of building a church.
Amen.
You can't build a church. It's born a church by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Bram speaks on this quite a bit. I don't know if he used the word frivolous, but same idea here. He says, I've heard, but now I see 1965. And Brother Bram's talking about the time where he had a vision and told some brothers that they were looking for the oil, and he said, "This down there, go get it." And they doubted him, and they didn't go right away. So then some others went down there, and they're like, "Well, we better go off and do it." And they went to go do it, and they came back to Brother Bram and said, "Tell us where it is." And Brother Bram said what I'm about to tell you right now. He said, "See, we don't use the gift of God for commercial. No, no, no. He could tell me where it was at, but I don't have any need of it. I wouldn't even have the faith enough to ask him. See, if I had a need of it, I believe if I'd ask, he'd tell me. But first, you see, your motives and objectives has to be right. You have to have reasons for this. God don't give you those things just because you ask." A lot of people will quote that scripture. They all can read that. "Whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it." But look, what are you asking for? Because you've got to have faith to ask. And if you're asking for something you can't have faith for, you're not asking according to the Word. So it will not happen.
Exactly.
Just as much as it will happen when you have faith, it will not happen if you have unbelief. There's no middle ground for it. That's right. Let me keep reading here. You have to have reasons for this. God don't give you those things just because you ask. And you cannot ask in faith unless there's a real objective to it.
Yeah.
To be in the will of God.
Yeah. Sure.
See, if you want to be well, what do you want to be well for?
Right.
See, if you want to be healed, what's your reason you want to be healed? What are you telling God? What do you want to do with your life when you get healed? See, there's got to be, you've got to have a motive, an objective, and they have to be right according to the will of God. And then's when the faith is revealed to you, and God, by His sovereign grace, places that in there, then it's over, see?
Amen.
Now see, hallelujah. That's right, I watch so many people, they say, "Well, I believe God will heal me." And you begin to dig into their life and think, "Well, what do you want to be healed?" "Well, once I get healed, I can go back to doing what I was doing." It's like, well, no wonder God ain't healing you, because He cares more about your soul than your body.
Right.
Amen. I think a lot of times people just want to get healed so they can go back to sin like they were before.
Right.
"Well, when I felt good, I didn't pray. That way I could go goof off all the time. Now I don't feel good. I just got to stay home and pray." Ding, ding, ding. I wonder why.
Amen.
Yep,
ding, ding, ding.
Hallelujah. And we ask for things, but are we asking amiss? Are we trying to heap on our lusts? Are we trying to invest in this life and not the world to come? Are we trying to glorify ourselves and feel good and say, "Look, everybody look at me because I've got great faith, and that's why so-and-so got healed"? That ain't going to happen.
Right.
Now, it don't work the other way either. Sometimes people think God don't answer prayer because He's trying to keep you humble. That ain't it. No, brother, sister. You show me where Jesus' prayer wasn't answered, but when He had to die at the cross for the Word. Come on now. He said, "Father, let us pass, but if not my will, thine be done." That's right. People think that a lot of times. Well, that's why there ain't no healing in the church. God keeping us humble. That's a bunch of nonsense.
Amen.
That's an excuse. That's an excuse for unbelief. If there's any place people ought to get healed, is in church.
Amen.
That's right. You say, "Well, should we get healed outside?" You know the book of Acts, they got healed outside church and things too. Yes, sure. But why else come to church then? What are we doing here? I mean, there's a reason we come together. It's to help one another. We're here to worship God. Don't get me wrong. You ain't caring about somebody else's opinion. But our faiths come together for a reason, because we're part of the same body and we're supposed to be helping each other, not by gossiping. Come on. Not by saying, "Well, I'm your Holy Ghost." They won't say that, but they'll sure act like it. "Ooh, you know, I saw you went to McDonald's after church. Them poor people had to work. What are you doing? You should be helping them go home." Bunch of legalists. Shut up. Because here's the thing. I hate to break it to you, but we're still going to have plenty of sinners all the way till this is over to work on Sundays and Wednesdays. So that ought to give us a little faith to say, "You know what? I'll just, Lord, commit it to you. Lord, help me get to church. God will find a sinner to go work for you." I believe that. I do. Hallelujah.
It might not come the way we want it to, but just because it's easy doesn't mean it's right. Just because it's hard don't mean it's wrong. That's right. It's because it's the Word that makes it right. It's because it's faith. It's because it gives you the joy of the Lord in the midst of any trial. Hallelujah. Yeah, God cares so much about keeping you humble, He'll let somebody else suffer. No. No. There's a lack of faith somewhere. You're being careless with it. Because typically speaking, what happens is we pray not for the person, but for ourselves. Because once they get healed, I'll go and tell everybody, look how great a man of faith I am. God help us to stop doing that. Amen. Don't tell me it don't happen. It happens all the time. Yeah. Amen. Because then somebody goes spouting off, oh man, when this brother prayed for me, that was just so glorious. I just, I felt lightning come through me. Well, good. But it wasn't that man that healed you. Because then anytime anybody else preaching, there ain't no lightning.
Yeah.
So God must not be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope we get all the frivolous out of our faith and get the real.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen. See, when God's, I'm just going to read it. It's the Psalms 107:20. When God, it says He sent His Word and He healed them.
Yep.
See, when God does something, He's got a purpose behind it.
Yeah.
It's not frivolous. It's not meaningless. I don't care if you don't like reading the genealogies and you think they're boring.
Amen.
They need to be in there.
Amen.
Because if anything, those bunch of scoffers will go through and they'll try to prove it wrong. And they always come out defeated. The Word was right the whole time.
Amen.
Amen. Just read it. Jesus is in there.
Yes, sure.
Yes, He is. He's the Word. And that means you're in there. Because we're the Word for the... We've always been the Word. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to Matthew 4. Hallelujah. See, faith, real genuine faith, not frivolous faith, real genuine faith has one goal, to glorify God,
Amen.
To glorify the Word of the hour, to glorify Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And it don't matter who sees and who don't see.
Right.
It's that knowing God sees it.
Amen.
God knows what you're doing. God, and if we could get Christians, or myself included, to live a life in only His presence.
Amen.
You wouldn't have to worry about the preacher seeing you do something. Because you'll know God already saw me.
Amen.
Might as well just repent now, you know.
Yeah.
Quit waiting until I'm so condemned I won't even come to church.
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
Don't get tempted with that devil. No, you keep coming. That's right.
Amen.
Matthew 4. Look at Jesus now. Verse 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness. I wonder how many of us could accept the Holy Spirit is leading us to go to the wilderness, and you keep reading, to be tempted of the devil. That's why you're going. You're not going to eat. You're not going to drink. I'm just going to let the devil do whatever he wants with you for 40 days. But look, wherever the Spirit is where Jesus went. Amen. Wherever God is, you are way safer than where God is not. If God tells a man, I don't care where he's coming from, go in the jungles of Africa and preach to a bunch of heathens that will kill any white guy shows up, you're safer there than staying over here in the States in your nice comfy house.
Amen.
Come on, that's right. We get too fed. We get too worried about somebody's opinion. What do you care about someone's opinion? If God be for us, who can be against us? And when Jesus Christ's own words was, go into all the world and preach this gospel.
Right.
You say, well, they don't see it. They don't receive it. That has nothing to do with it. God sees you.
Amen.
Amen. And if He leads you by the Spirit, go do it. Hallelujah. Because on this side, they might not shoot you. They might not stab you. They might terrorize you on Facebook or something, but who cares? God sees you.
Amen.
And if He gives you the inspiration, you need to act on it.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. You can't make the inspiration come. I wish we quit acting like we can. You'll have the inspiration come, you know, go pray for that person. And you'll act like you came up with that so you can get rid of it. What gave you that inspiration was the Holy Ghost. That's right. You can't make that come up. And if you try to, then you're on frivolous faith again. You're just kind of going at it and doing whatever. It's time for the bride to recognize she's got the genuine article. She's got the real baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a real person living in your soul that tells you things that are given to you to glorify the Word. How many's been encouraged by what from what I'm about to read with Jesus' temptation? I know I have. It ain't been that bad yet, Lord. You ain't letting me out to go fast and pray for 40 days just to be tempted of the devil all by myself. Let's just keep reading. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And the tempter came to him and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. If you really be a believer, come heal this sickness. If you really be a believer, raise this one from the dead. You don't get to call God's shots.
No, that's
right. God already called his and wrote them down. And said, I'll put it in this pocket. I'll defeat the devil here, here. I'll run through seven church ages. And the last, I'll send you the prophet Elijah. That's right. I've already called my shot. Go ahead, devil. Try to stop it.
Amen.
Amen. If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered, said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then the devil taketh them up into the holy city and set them on a pinnacle of a temple. And he said to them, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And if that wasn't hard enough temptation, look, he had the power to make stones into bread. He had power to fall off off the top of the temple and have everybody look at him and watch him get caught in midair and look like he's floating because he commanded the angels to come get him.
Right.
He was the Lord of heaven. He could have done it. He could have proven to all of them that he was really the Messiah. But why didn't he? Because of verse 8, we keep reading here. Again, the devil taketh him up to exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and said to him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only shalt thou serve. Why did Jesus do this? It could not have been for himself. If he would have taken the devil's offer, oh my, Calvary would have never happened. The persecution would have never happened. He would have been a beloved minister. Come on now. He would have had no persecution. The Jews would have accepted him.
Amen.
All nations would have accepted him. We'd have been on to a millennium.
Sure.
But at the bottom of it, when it was over, we'd all be dead.
Right.
The devil would reign and the terror would start. Why did Jesus turn this down? It's because he loved you and I. Because the real faith of God, when it really begins to manifest, it will never be selfish. It's always selfless. It doesn't benefit you at all. But even if it does, you don't care. That's not what you're worried about. You're worried about your loved ones. You're worried about a struggling brother. You're worried about the world groping in sin and shame and darkness. And knowing that you're the only light that they will ever have to see.
Amen.
It's a great responsibility to be a real believer in this day. And most people are coming under the pressure of that and they're folding.
Amen.
Saying, I can't do it. I got to fit in. I can't do it because now even our friends in the message, so-called friends, are beginning to compromise.
Sure.
I know Brother Branham said, but. I know the Bible said, but. I know the world's falling apart, but no, we can save it. Come on now. I know the prophet said I don't even pray for America no more because it's over. But no, let's pray and let's do something about it. Let's take up arms. Brother, sister, you're investing in something that's already destroyed.
Amen.
We're not building a church. We're not building a denomination. We're building the kingdom of God, which is in meat, drink, and apparel and all these things. It's in the Holy Ghost. It's in the true experience of God in the human soul. Do you want to help these people or not? Get them to God.
Hallelujah.
It's the only hope. Hallelujah. Run for your life back to Jesus Christ. There's nowhere else to go. Hallelujah. Jesus could have used his faith for all kinds of meaningless things. He could have right here proved to the devil he was the Son of God. But you can't make an unbeliever believe.
Amen.
You can't make an unbeliever believe.
That's right.
That's right. Hallelujah. Our Brother Branham says this, and do not be afraid, 1961. The same one set up there on the cross, or before he got to the cross when he was tempted up there, said, if thou be the Son of God, perform a miracle here before me. Turn these stones into bread and eat, and I'll believe you. See, Jesus said, but it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. See, he didn't clown for Satan. And when they had him in the courtyard, put a rag over his face, wrapped it around his eyes and took a stick and hit his precious head. Said, if you're a prophet now and can tell us, if you're the Messiah prophet, tell us who hit you on the head. He never said a word.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. The powers and gifts of God are not to show off with. They're to serve God by.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Therefore, the glory of God to do something to help somebody. And we wonder why the gifts that God has put in our lives don't never seem to come out. It's because you're too concerned with yourself. You're too concerned with feeling good and saying how spiritual you are. You aren't giving it to God to actually help someone else. That you genuinely care. Look, I thank God. I just heard from Brother Colin. I happened to go, had somebody like someone on my Facebook, checked it out, and I'm like, that name sounds familiar. Who is that? Come to find out. I told you all I had that vision of the woman before I went to go preach at Samuel Johnson's church, that she'd be standing over there on that side, and I know exactly what was wrong with her and what to tell her.
Right.
Amen. Yes. And it was on Tuesday morning. God woke me up about 3 or 4 in the morning. I can't remember now, but it was real early. And you know, you see something like that, and most of you think that's never experienced something like that. You think, oh my, you'd just be burning the countryside ready to tell it, but you don't understand how the devil comes.
Right.
He'll say, you just thought that up.
Yep.
You just, that wasn't really God. That was just you.
Yep.
That's not really the Holy Ghost. That's just, look, you're going to look stupid when it don't happen.
Yeah.
Come on now, that's the battle. That's the real, that's where you find out if you really got it or not. But I pressed through all that by the grace of God. And I mean that. By the grace of God. No work, no mental workup can do it. It's knowing that the blood saved me.
Amen.
The blood redeemed me. And He promised these things to happen. He said, your young men shall see visions.
Amen.
That's His word and I believe it.
Yes, sir.
The devil come and try to talk you out anything supernatural happen in your life. Yes, he will. He'll tell you it's just a gimmick. He'll tell you it's just this, that, or the other thing. It's just another fad. If you've got the real word of God, you stand on it and act on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When I saw her, she was sitting on the back to the right side. And on Saturday night or Friday night, she wasn't there. Saturday night, she was there, but she was sitting in the middle. And I remember even saying, I was like, maybe it's not for today. Because it just didn't seem, it wasn't right. She's supposed to be over there. Hallelujah. And I talked to Brother Colin because y'all know he came here and preached on Sunday. So I'm like, well, I'll just tell him on Saturday so there's a witness. And I told him about it. He said, brother, that's exactly right. Normally she sits over there. I don't know why she sat there last night, but normally she sits over there. I found out why. Because on Sunday she came. She sat over there, but she wasn't by herself. She had her family. And they were Catholic. Glory to God. And at the end of the service, the Holy Spirit told me, go ahead. And I told her, I said, Sister Darren LeGray, you've been... I wish I could remember. That just showed you how much it ain't me. I have a hard time grasping that again. You're trying to find that channel of inspiration that the Lord gave you. But it's something like, you know, the devil's told you that this is too hard, too complicated. You'll never get it and it's not for you. But I'm here to tell you today, he's lying, that God has brought you to this truth because you're one of His.
Amen.
And you should have seen the hush. I mean, there are little boys back there. I watched them during service, you know, as you're preaching. They weren't real, real respectful. But all of a sudden, something happened. Began to think, you know what? Maybe this ain't just church. Maybe this is real. Maybe this really is the God of heaven. You know what I just heard? That sister liked something on my Facebook, so I clicked on it. Found a picture. Her husband got baptized shortly after that.
Hallelujah.
It brought me to tears. And I went to Brother Colin. I was like, is that her husband? He said, yes, it is. And he said, that church is probably the most on fire in our church, or that family is probably the most on fire in our church right now. And I said, that brother so encourages me to never be afraid when God leads you to something. Go do it. It's time for action. It's because I didn't care about me and people thinking I'm spiritual. I thought this believer here, the devil's trying to kick him. That's so much worse than being sick, brother, sister. That's so much worse. They have the devil tell you you're not a child of God.
Right.
And beginning to think of that and believe it. There's nothing else because everything else in your experience crumbles at that point.
Amen.
But have the word of the Lord come and bring it and begin to bring a family back. It's so glorious. How do you do it, Brother Andrew? Quit having frivolous faith. Quit being selfish and carefree. Get your heart to where it's the love of God coming through you.
Yes.
To where you literally would die for your enemies.
Yes.
Where you literally could lay your life down for those that would kill you.
Yes.
Watch God move on the scene.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He didn't clown for Satan. And when they had him in the courtyard, I read that.
The gifts and powers of God are not to show off with, they're to serve God by. They're for the glory of God to do something to help somebody. Not to come out like a stuffed shirt and saying, me, my, great. That's not it. When a man does that, he's little in my sight. Who is great? One. That's God. Amen. Amen. Brother Bram says this, raising Jairus' daughter, 1956. Now, he don't have to do this. And let everybody know that through this divine gift that the Lord has given, I do not do this for a show off. God knows that. God don't do it to show you He's God. Listen now, God doesn't even do the supernatural to prove Himself. He doesn't need to prove Himself. He knows who He is. And if you're a real Christian, baptized with the Holy Ghost and got a true assurance, quit worrying about proving yourself and just serve the Lord. He will prove to the world you're a believer. Amen. Because what He said, I do not do this to show off. God knows that. God don't do it to show you He's God. He does it that the Word might be fulfilled. When Jesus went to the cross, He could have very easily told him who He was. He could have showed him what scriptures he was fulfilling. But even the one scripture that He did tell him, He spoke in an unknown tongue. They didn't even know He was quoting the Bible. But He was. When He raised from the dead, He met Mary. And told Mary, go tell the disciples I'm raised from the dead. He's not a show-off. And He didn't do it in this day either. Why did God show Himself on these? It's for the bride of Christ. And that alone. Faith in this day. Look, you've got to quit trying to build a kingdom here. We are getting a kingdom to leave. The bride is getting ready to leave. It's the final call. It's the final voice to the final age. And so many are getting dull. So many are fitting in this world. So many are so concerned with down here, they're totally going to miss it when it happens. But don't you be one of them, Christian friend. You don't have to even worry about it. Live in genuine faith. That's so, Lord, every day I'm looking for You. Every day, every minute, every hour. Look, not just looking for that necessarily just to get my benefit, but Lord, what do You want me to do now? Right now, I'm sitting here in church and saying, Lord, what do You want me to do now? Hallelujah. If we got more laity to recognize that they're called to be laity, and there's nothing wrong with that, I think it helped the Bible or the bride to get moving forward. You can't have all chiefs. You got to have some Indians. That's right. You can't have all quarterbacks. Somebody's got to be a lineman. That's right. Amen. And you know what? You might be the quarterback. I'll be a lineman. That's all right. As long as we make it, that's all I care about. Amen. This word that God has sent is for the bride of Jesus Christ. It was not given for the world. It will never go to the world. They will never get it. They will never understand it. They will always blackmail it. They'll always show you why it's wrong just because they don't have real faith.
Amen.
They'll always talk you out of all the miracles that happened in Brother Branham's ministry. But they can't explain one of them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1961, Jesus Christ, same yesterday and forever. Listen now. And there's tens of thousands that's never been published. She's talking about miracles now. We need to be careful sometimes the way we are about these things. I wonder if that's why our live streaming don't seem to do a whole lot. Come on. Our video is in all these things and sending it out and letting the world see and putting it on the internet. It don't seem to be doing too much, does it? Because that ain't God's program. He's not a show-off. He's not. It's okay. I understand that it's a good desire and things. Just like Brother Bram said, TV. He said, it's not the TV itself. You know, it depends what you got on it, but how the devil just gets right in there.
Yeah.
That's right. And Brother Bram said, I'm going to read this to you. I never saw this quote till here recently, and it just about floored me. Listen to this. He said, now there's tens of thousands that's never been published because I'm not very much on publishing things unless it's just among ourselves. Jesus said in one place, don't tell anybody about it. Just go ahead and give glory to God. So I think today we put too much emphasis on publications and things that show off. But Christ is not a show off. He's the Son of God, humble. How can men believe unless they are ordained to believe? There were many people in the days who did not in his days that did not believe it, but he came to those who did believe it. And that's right in the Bible, church. It's John 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But he came unto, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. And if you think this is hard for you to accept, that God only comes to his elect. The disciples had the same problem. Listen, they asked him. It's Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why did Brother Branham have to say it that way? Why did he have to say that if a man kisses a woman, he's orally, morally obligated to marry her? I'm sorry, I'm trying not to. Try not to go down that route, but I've heard that too many times. Why did they say it like that? Why is it like this? This is too hard. This is too straight. It's too narrow. I want too straight, too narrow. I want to be, I don't care about no edge. I want to be so close to the mountain, I can't even see the edge. I want to make it to the top. I'm interested in seeing how close I can get to falling off. That's right. Like there was an engineering job I heard one time. And this might be a parable, but that's all right. That man came. And, you know, they were interviewing guys, and one guy came up, and he had a pen. And the man says, why are you using a pen? Because, you know, you usually use a pencil. And he says, because I don't make mistakes. He says, I don't want you. You'll be too afraid to take risk. Hallelujah. Just like another one was. It was going up the mountainside. They were trying to show how good chariot riders they were. And one got within 5 inches of the edge. One got 2 inches. He said, man, look how good we are sliding around. And here comes this other guy poking right on the inside. He said, I don't like to get too edgy. He said, you take me up. Because I ain't interested in flirting with the edge. I don't want somebody to tell me how we can have TV but not.
Right.
I don't want somebody to tell me how you can do these things in the world, but it's kind of okay. We'll kind of fit it in like this.
Right.
I want somebody that says, look, just run away from it.
Amen.
I want somebody that will say what the prophet said. Says, if you can't have faith, stay away.
Amen.
If there's the littlest doubt, that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's it, because God is all faith. So if he recognizes some doubt, he will tell you.
Amen.
And it's not up to you to call a pastor and to look up quotes and do all this stuff that people want to do to excuse why it's okay for you to do it.
Amen.
Just stop.
Amen.
Just look at the victory it is already. Just when you take that, and if you actually take it home and live it, it'll destroy so much of what Satan builds up in your life. That's right. Because Satan don't build by big concrete blocks. He builds one grain at a time. And he's way more patient than most Christians. But, hallelujah, he's beginning to realize he's running out of time. Yes, sir, that's right. And he will when we're gone, because he's only got 3.5 years. Praise God. And I'm going to be having a good supper during that time. He said, why do you speak unto them in parables? Why do you make this so confusing? Why is it so hard to understand? Come on, Jesus. You know, I finally got my brother to come to church. And I just got done listening to Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble. And I finally got him to come to church. And you're making cords and beating everybody out of the temple and telling the priests they're a bunch of hypocrites.
Sure.
I finally got him here. And you had to be so hard. And weren't believers in the first place.
Amen.
The word does not offend believers.
Amen.
And the word ain't looking for none but the word. So if the word offends your doctrine, that don't bother me a bit. You're wrong.
Right.
I'm wrong if the word offends my doctrine. That's right. I had a young man come to me. He's talking about Trinity and things like that. And I told him, I was like, well, let's just read Matthew 28:19. And he'll flip to Acts 2:38 and you tell me. He's like, well, I'm sorry. I just read it to you. You're getting all mad and upset, but Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. He said, I'll send the Holy Spirit in your name. He was telling me, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit's kind of that feeling you get, you know, that comes on the inside. I was like, so you're Jehovah's Witness now is what you're telling me. Go look it up. Jehovah's Witness, the Holy Spirit's God's active force, like the wind or something. Well, Jesus said when he, the Holy Spirit, has come. So he didn't say it. He said he, a person. Hallelujah. And he began to get upset and things. I'm like, well, I'll tell you, you know, it's not me that you're mad at anyways. All I'm doing is reading to you the word. If you don't like service, well, I kind of don't know what to tell you. When Jesus told the parable of the wheat and the tares, how many knows that? It's a pretty normal parable, right? Any denomination will tell you, yeah, wheat and tares, son of man, blah, blah. They tend to forget that Jesus interpreted that.
Right.
Because they'll say that for baptism, won't they? Well, we'll believe Jesus' word over Peter's or Paul's any day. Oh, really? Jesus said that the one that sowed the bad seed was the devil and it was his children.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You tell me you don't believe in serpent seed? You don't believe in it? You can call it devil seed for all I care, because that's what it is. It's a seed of the devil. But the devil couldn't create his own life. He had to pervert it because there's only one creator. Amen. All right, let me see if I can keep going here. Hallelujah. And the disciples came and said, why do you speak unto parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not given. That's prejudice. Sorry, you don't get to be the boss. That's right. He's the boss. That's right. It's so simple when you think that God, you know what, is really God. He's really the creator. He's really the Lord of heaven. And he didn't really need your opinion. He doesn't need mine. He figured it out. He didn't even have to figure it out. He always knew it. And there was no figuring out before him, because there was nothing that was ever there to figure out before he came. Because there is no before him. Hallelujah. It's not given to them. For whosoever hath, and he begins to break into predestination. I love this. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. God, give us faith to say, that's me. That's me. I'm not sitting here barely crawling through. I'm supposed to have abundant joy, abundant peace. Why? Because I don't care that the world's falling apart. My world is secure.
Amen.
My retirement plan is 100% guaranteed.
Amen.
And my benefits are still good. It was written in the contract. I said it. I sent my word and I healed you.
Amen.
Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added.
Amen.
Don't be frivolous. Believe it.
Yes.
Say, that's for me. That's for my family. That's for my friends. That's for my co-worker. Come on. Just get them to Christ. He shall have more abundance. But look, but whosoever hath not what? The seed of God. He that hath the seed, he'll be given.
Right.
And more abundant. That's right. You'll be given the Holy Ghost, sure, as the wrong one did. You'll be given the anointing. That's right. You'll be given joy, and they'll get it too. But they don't have it. Because watch what he says. He says, whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath.
That's right.
So even this anointing, as Brother Branham preached, false anointed ones of the end time, even though they have that now, and we have the same one.
Yes.
That's right. But it's quickening two different things.
Yes.
And even that anointing will leave them.
Yes.
But it won't leave us.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. If anything, it'll just be more abundant, more prevalent, more in the present. Oh, I just can't wait till all that I live in, all that I can think of, all I can breathe is the true living presence of God.
Amen.
That's not a fantasy. Don't be frivolous. That's what we're living for. That's what we're dying for. That's why we suffer persecution. That's why we endure chastisement. That's why we stay away from the things of the world, because we're going there.
Amen.
And not just there, we're going to Him.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to the one I love. I don't care if you don't love Him. I love Him too much. I'm going where He is.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have time to get those politically correct nonsense that's getting our message. Can't even say someone's got dark skin no more. That ain't right. Come on now. There ain't no such thing as race anyways. It's just a color.
That's right.
That's right. They even said there's no genetic difference, really, between a black, white, gray, yellow. It's all the same.
Right.
You're not different, but, you know, men and women are. That's why when they started, you know, they're more sensitive about race than they are sex or gender.
Right.
And it doesn't make any sense. There's no science to prejudice against race. But you could say science that you're a boy and you're a girl.
Right.
Hallelujah. You can't change it. That's right. Hallelujah. Do I got a red shirt on or I got to be politically correct? It's maroon. Goodness. That's what we're getting anymore.
Yeah.
You can't quote it the way the prophet said it. That ain't, you know, he said colored people. We can't say that. Might offend you. That's okay. But look, it's fine. God sent me Elijah the prophet. I say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. Where did all that come from? Try. Now let me finish up here. It's only for believers, so I'm not too concerned with offending unbelievers anyways at this point. And we're so far along the road that's it. We're there.
Yeah.
There's not, we're gleaning. That's what we're doing. We're trying to find anyone that'll believe the word. Not someone that's going to halfway believe. We already went through that.
Sure.
They're leaving by the droves. Let them go. They don't believe it. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll all fall in the ditch. There's nothing you can do about it. You care, you pray, you scream, but you cannot leave the word to help somebody else that left the word. The only way you can help them is staying in the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Exactly right.
The trial, 1964, first place, he wants to give you this idea that the promise is only to believers. Not make believers, skeptics, or unbelievers.
Right.
So go ahead, believe the sign and seek ye truth and all these other guys, Collins and all these people that raise up in the message. It's not for you.
Right.
You're a skeptic. Go.
Yeah.
That's right. And if you're a skeptic today about this message, about the word, just go. It ain't going to do you no good.
Right.
You're actually going to be worse. It'd be rather, you should just be ignorant.
Right.
But I'm sorry for anybody in this room, it's too late for that. You ain't ignorant.
No.
You know the truth.
Yeah.
That's right. And it'll make you free if you just believe it.
Yes.
That's right. 1963, the token. Notice then the preparation for his promised land people. How many's one of them?
Amen.
I'm a promised land person. How did God prepare me? Listen to this. Notice what he did. First, he had a people that he had made a land for them. I go to prepare you a place. That's right. He had prepared a land for them. And now he sent down there a preparation for it, for the promised land people. It was only for those who were predestinated to that promised land, bride day.
Right.
Amen. And how he done it? He sent a prophet with a message, identified it by a pillar of fire, and gave a token that they could rest assured that it was right. That's right. It was her consolation. And what's the bride's consolation is that we have the token.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be frivolous. Don't be careless. You've got the genuine article, and all of hell must bow to the name of Jesus Christ that lives in your soul. God don't dwell in tabernacles made with hands. He dwells in the heart of a human.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. To the point where Brother Branham said, look, we are in the token time. It's time for perfect faith. We should be unwavering, unmovable, unshakable. Why do you think God's allowing the internet to come out? Why do you think you can go look every doubt you want about anything, about this message, Bible, anything? He's seeing if you can be shaken.
Amen.
Because you're trying to go back to intellectual faith, which will lead to frivolous faith. It's just a mental workup, but it's never God's program. God's faith reality. God's faith lives. God's faith heals.
Amen.
Amen. He proves himself alive in every believer.
That's right.
When every believer, that's right. You take that home. Every believer, he proves himself alive.
Amen.
When Brother Branham was going to call a prayer line, he says this in Go Awake Jesus, 1963. And then look, everyone that comes in the prayer line, if you've got the least bit of doubt that you're not going to be healed tonight, don't come in. It'll only make you worse.
Sure.
And then people go blame God. Or they'll blame that preacher. He prayed for me, but I didn't get well. Did you come up with doubt?
Come on.
You did. Or you'd have been healed.
Right.
That's right, but you're not. And yet you'll get worse. Why? Because you only had a little bit of unbelief. Now that you didn't accept faith, you've given the devil life to grow.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He has no life of his own. He has to take it from you.
That's right.
He has none. He has to bluff you out of it. That's right. That's what he's done since the beginning. He had to bluff Adam and Eve out of it. He could not take their possession. They had to give it to him. God, help us to believe that when we could have gave it to the devil, Jesus said, no. Said, I'll finish it. I'll do it. Get out of the way. And he took the title deed out of the right hand of the Father. And where were you? You weren't in him when he did it.
Amen.
Who can take it out of his hands? No one. If you've got the least bit of doubt, there's no reason to have doubt. What hasn't God healed? What hasn't God done for us? Even us here right now, what hasn't God done when you've prayed?
Amen.
Come on now. Well, I'll tell you what he hasn't done, what you've asked amiss.
That's right.
What you've asked for your own glory. What you've asked for your own feelings, your own emotions. We have to succumb to the will of God.
Sure.
And say, Lord, it's hard. And I'm not telling you it's easy. It ain't easy. Hey, he's being a Christian. You want an easy life? Go be a Muslim in this day. You can get away with anything. You be a Christian, you're going to get persecuted.
Yeah.
Not some mainstream wishy-washy backwash that'll say, well, it's okay for this and that. No, be a real Christian. Be a man and surrender to God. And you'll be persecuted. You're going to be.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Word said so. God's got one goal in this age. You want it is? The Word to come to pass.
Amen.
That's it. There ain't nothing else. All this other stuff doesn't mean anything. It's the word coming to pass. It'll only, let me finish that. It'll only make you worse, see? You'll only get worse, see? So don't come in the prayer line. Wait till tomorrow. Do it tomorrow sometime. Some other time when you got faith. See that? He wasn't telling them really to go do it tomorrow. He's telling them, get faith. Amen. That's your problem. Whenever you can get it, then ask God.
Amen.
That's right, because as James said also, you might need to read the book of James after this service, but any man that's a double-minded man, he'll get nothing from God. That's right, if you got 1 foot in, 1 foot out, you know you've got the promise of God, but you got a backup plan, it ain't going to work. You might as well go ahead and get ready for the backup plan, because that's what you're doing. Because you took it out of God's hands and you put it in your own. Just take the seed, plant it in the ground, and let the husbandman bring it forth. That's right. Do it tomorrow. Do it sometime. Some other time when you got faith. Don't do it because it's only for those who have faith to believe. Hallelujah. Let me read you a few more and I'll finish this up today. Praise the Lord. Do you love Him today? Are you hearing from the Father?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's what's important. You know, even in this day, we can look for shouting and screaming and these signs, these little fleshy evidences and things. That's not what anybody, any real minister in this stage, we're looking for the bride. We're looking for the bride to be ready. Now, the bride will be screaming and shouting. Don't worry, because she'll recognize she's predestinated.
Yeah.
That's right. She'll recognize that it don't matter what happens. I'm saved. I'm sealed. Hey, devil, you can try all this you want to. You can try to upset me. I'm going. You can't. I don't got any shackles, devil. I got a revelation. You were lying to me the whole time. I'm free.
Amen.
Go ahead. You had my hands down in gloom, but I can do this now.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Praise hallelujah. God. Hallelujah. Let's just read this. Remembering the Lord, 1963. It says, I wonder, brethren, let's think seriously now. Remember, what's the opposite of serious or of frivolous was to be serious, to be weighty, to take it with sincerity what we're doing here. You need to be that way in church. You need to be that way at home and in your life. Your life. Your life is an offering to God. Or it's an offering to the devil.
That's right.
There's no middle ground. Remember, let me finish now. I wonder, brethren, let's think seriously now. We Pentecostal people, I wonder if we receive the Holy Ghost just for entertainment. But there's more that goes with that. There's a life got to be lived. I wonder if that's the hindrance of the churches today, brethren. I wonder if that's the reason that we're still back here in the wilderness, wandering around, instead of over in the promised land, possessing all things. I wonder if there isn't something we haven't thought seriously enough about. See, you must think seriously. Amen. Hey, man. Is this really life and death to you yet? Yeah. Or is serving the Lord kind of just a hobby?
What?
You know, is it kind of just something you do? You know, you might do it at church, maybe fake it good here. But, I mean, I don't even see many fakers anymore. You can't really get people to come to church.
Right.
That's right. And it ain't to bash on any particular, but that's just the truth. That's the day we're living in. And it can be discouraging for anyone. It sure can. Look, there's many ministers, and that's why Brother Branham preached a paradox. How in the world is this going to happen?
Yeah.
How is the bride going to get ready?
Right.
And we can minister, sit back, and think that we're going to do something to get it ready. No, we're not. There's only one thing I've been called to do, preach the Word.
That's right.
There's only been one thing for you to do, receive the Word.
Amen.
And to live the Word. That's right. And where the chips fall is where they fall. Just keep following the Word. Because the Word's not a doctrine for the last time. It is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We didn't get the Holy Ghost just to be entertained. And you know, and I don't see too many churches worried about that, really. But that is, we can't really get to where we get a little bit excited, but. So I've been there, I have, where they just want to scream and shout and do a bunch of nothing. They don't have no meaning behind it. That's true, and that's the other side. But there's also the other side where you just kind of go through the motions and whatever, and it don't matter. Where's that heartfelt church? Where's that church that's not a church anymore, but that's a bride?
Amen.
That's married. That's married to her first love.
Yes.
Not her old love, not divorced three times, some guy she got desperate for. I'm talking first time.
Amen.
Glory to God. Y'all pray for me or something. That's the way we approach him sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
Just kind of going for it, you know? Well, I already tried TV and that didn't satisfy me. I tried this love over here and I tried to, you know, sometimes we'll eat our sorrows away or we'll go do something that we like to do, whatever it is, and we'll try it. And then by the time we're like, that don't satisfy. So I'll go back to, you know, Jesus, I guess.
She sounds like a woman that runs out on her husband all the time.
Right.
But knows at the end of the day that without him, she don't have a home.
Right.
And I think Christians, we recognize that real quick.
Sure.
One for Jesus. Now here, mercy rewrote our lives, Christians.
Amen.
That's right. Yes. I'm not telling you that if you do something like that, that's over. I'm telling you, though, you need to get back.
Amen.
That's right. Not tomorrow. Now.
Right now.
Yeah, not after the service. Now. You know that sometimes we get so religious, even in the church. I hope I ain't boring you. I ain't trying. I barely been an hour. I hope that's okay. We can make it an hour and 10 minutes, right? I was just reading a sermon from Brother Branham. It took him 15 pages to get to his text. I don't remember what he's talking. Like, oh, they had a prayer line before he even started preaching. Because he said some people I think are gonna have to leave, so I want to let them come up here and get prayed. I wonder if we can handle that around here. I wonder if we can handle that just in the message in general. If we can have a prayer line before church started. And this wasn't just two people, bro, sister. This was, you know, he brings them up, talk about them for a while and say, yeah, and we're going to pray for this one. And then pray for this one. And then finally pray for a few of them. And they said, well, here's our sister this. And it was probably 30 people before he got done to take his text. But see, it wasn't him just wasting time. It was that we went to church for a reason. And if they're sick people, we need to pray for them. That's right. And there's things of being wise. That's why he even says, I was preaching, I'm going to preach some morning service that typically I like to do in the evening. It just seems to work better, but I know people got to go home.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's being carnally minded. No, it's not. It's not being frivolous,
right,
careless, and selfish because, oh my, it just feels better at night. It's not a preacher worried about the preacher. It should be a preacher worried about the children.
Amen.
The children of God, that
right.
is. All right, I got one more and I'll close on this. Led by the Spirit of God, 1956. I believe the Holy Spirit's here now to lead us. Do you believe that? I believe He led us here tonight. No, sir, you never promised to be seen out there under this hot tent tonight. No, sir, God led you out here. You got to believe that. You got to believe that. You are led by the Spirit to come to church. I believe. You don't have to feel it. I'm telling you, that's the word. I never, never, never believe anybody that tells me the Spirit told them to miss church. It just don't do that. It don't tell you not to read your Bible. Come on. It don't tell you not to pray. It don't tell you not to pray for someone unless they got sin in their lives. I understand that, but you know what I mean. We ain't even that far yet. We're trying to learn calculus and can't even tie our shoes. Come on. Just be led by the Spirit and do the first works and God will add more. That's what I've learned. Do what consistent Christians should be doing. That's what we heard last Sunday, wasn't it? That's right. No excuses, no compromises. Just do it. I believe He led us here tonight. Or excuse me, let me come down here. And if God led you out here, He brought you out for a purpose. That was for something He could give to you. I'm sure. Me being upset all day and the water upset me and feeling tired and stiff and sore. I never come out here tonight just to show off. I come over here not knowing what to say, but the Holy Spirit began to speak. Now we've got the message in our hearts. Let's do something about it. Amen. Let's do something about it. Let's ask God tonight, in Christ's name, to fill our hearts anew and send us away from here with a new vision, with a new determination to be led by the Holy Ghost, cased in, and a wall on the outside separating us from the things of the world to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. And I think any Christian would say, that's my prayer, Lord. That's my prayer today, Lord. Let's stand together. That, Lord, You'd come right now in Your presence. Hallelujah. Shut in with God. See that. That tonight, or this afternoon rather, praise God, that in Your presence, Lord, that I believe is here, that I'm in a predestinated moment, Lord. Now You pray. You seek the Lord. Quit waiting on somebody else. Quit thinking you're okay. If you're not okay, you need to talk to God. Even if you are okay, you ought to be talking to Him anyways because you love Him. Praise His holy name. Don't worry about nothing else. Give God the preeminence this afternoon. Hallelujah. You ain't starving to death. You ain't got nowhere to be. We're here to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. And say, Lord, I'm praying right now that the Spirit that I feel on me, Lord, it might just quicken my soul anew this afternoon. That it might give me just a fresh fire lit of God, the pillar of fire that'll light my soul once again and give me that right vision of being the bride. Hallelujah. To not be frivolous and nonsense and worried about things of the world and worried about things of this life, but to invest in things of eternal life. to not be afraid to stick out, to not be afraid to give you a shout of praise and to say amen to the word and to live for you with all my heart. Some of you might be surprised that that's what God's waiting on in you, to see if you can worship Him in the midst of your storms. Everybody can praise God in the good times. Hallelujah. Everybody can say, bless the Lord that, you know, daily loadeth me with benefits. That's right. And you ought to do that as well. But what about when it seems like He ain't there no more? What does it seem like when you're just all by yourself and He's letting you do that to see, do you really love me for who I am? He's not feelings. He's not emotions. He's the Word. Do you love me for being the Word? That no matter what you feel, no matter what you see, no matter what you sense, no matter what you hear, faith declares that the Word is right. Glory to God. With every head bowed now before God, please respect the Holy Spirit if you want Him to move in your life. That would want to raise your hand with your heart behind it and say, Lord, I believe this, that was for me. That is to bring my sights back to where I'm supposed to be. That the Holy Ghost would just fill me anew with love, joy, and peace and direction. That I'll have a new fervor, not of self-will, but of the will of God in my soul. Hallelujah. To have a fervor to know what your will is, Lord, and then to do it quickly. God bless you, saints. God sees your hands. He knows your hearts. I love seeing humble hearts that get right. Those are the ones that God comes to. Said, a broken and contrite spirit I will not despise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now don't be frivolous with your faith. When you rose your hand, that was faith. When in your heart you testified it, when it came out of your lips, say, Lord, that was for me. That was faith. Don't be frivolous enough to let the devil come snatch it away and say, nope, you're just getting emotional. You're just getting upset. It's just you. It's just you. It's just you. No, it was God. God spoke this to me today, Satan. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my adoration. He's worthy of my hardships. He's worthy of my hard life that He lets me go through. Brother, sister, if the Holy Spirit's leading you, act quickly in what He tells you to do. It can be ever so simple. Hallelujah. Some of the simplest actions that you neglect to do are what keep you from your victory. That's right. Hallelujah. I don't know what He's leading you to do. I believe our brother, don't mind me using him, Brother Ronnie, got a revelation here recently. Be able to make it on Wednesday night. God's honored him. That's right. You might not think that's a big step, but it was for our brother because the Holy Spirit told him to do it. Amen. Same with our brother Dan. Brother Austin coming up to the front. You think that's nothing? Praise God for that. Wish we'd get more young men coming to the front or just come to church at all. Amen. Those steps of faith, now build on that. Say, Lord, you led me to do that. You're leading me what's moving on my heart now. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't ever get stale in your relationship with Jesus. Just fall in love with Him all over again. Just remember where you came from, how depressed you were, and how wrecked your life was. We all tried to take the bottle and drown it away. We tried to smoke this and tried to run off with these women or these men, and it never did nothing. But then one day you met a man, and he changed your life. Don't get an old doty married couple. You're in a honeymoon. Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The same God that gave you faith to come to church. The same God that brings you to church early and you come in here and pray and seek God. Don't let the devil tell you that you're wasting your time. God led you to do that. You used to be out in the world doing all kinds of nonsense. And here you are, children of God, trying to serve Him with all your heart. Don't be frivolous. Don't be defeated. Hallelujah, wait in your heart and say, Lord, you were serious enough to stretch your hands, to let Him put the nails in and to bleed and die for me. I can be sincere enough to live for you.
I can be sincere enough to believe your word. Not for my glory, but truly for my heart, Lord, that your name would be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, children, would you receive him today? You know he's here. If you've got any spiritual bone in you, the pillar of fire that you believe in, Jesus Christ is here now. Glory to God. Let him restore you. You know how to do it. Yield to him like you did the first time. That's all it takes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name. Let's worship him in the spirit. Let's worship him in truth. Oh, let's not be in a hurry. Let's just let go and let God. Actually, I want to be shut in. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just worship him now. Yes, Lord Jesus.
You be shut in with God. Shut in with God in a sea.
That inner chamber of your heart where nobody else can go.
There in the Spirit, beholding his face, gaining new power to run in the race. How I long.
Oh, hallelujah. Do you love his presence today? Do you believe he's right there with you?
Shut in with God in a sea.
Yes, Lord. Receive his word, children.
There in the Spirit, beholding his face.
Feel his love. You feel that person in the room. Where else do you want to be? Oh, Jesus.
Shut it.
We believe you, Lord. We believe in you with all our hearts. Oh, just love your presence. Lord, I love you. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving us a hope. Yes, Lord. Oh, just love on him, children.
Gaining new power to run.
Yes, Lord.
In the race.
We love you, Jesus.
How I long to be shut in with God.
Dad, I want you to play that one more time. With all of our heads bowed and our hands raised. Just stay in that little inner chamber right now for a little bit with just Jesus. And just tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you appreciate him. Give your heart to him anew. Say, Lord, thank you so much for saving me, for being my Lord and Savior, for being so mindful of me, Lord, to daily take care of me, to give me a desire to serve you in the first place, for putting your seed in my heart. Given me a chance to escape Laodicea. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord, thank you, Lord. How I love you, Jesus. How I love you, Lord. How I love you, Lord. That never failing presence that promised to follow the prophets, promised to follow the bride now. He's here today, children. Oh, he loves you so much. Can you tell? Can you tell he loves you? Can you just love on him? Oh, Jesus. Don't come to church for anything. Don't read your Bible. Don't do that if you don't love Jesus. It'll just make you worse. Just make you religious. Don't ever lose focus that you're talking to a person. And not just any person, but the true living God. The one who didn't want to be off in the clouds away from you, but that wanted to be with you
that he's going around on doors knocking, trying to get in. Just think of all the rejection he goes through. People that he heals, people that he tried to save. Just open your door wide open. Not just the door in, but the door into the living room. The door into the kitchen. The door into your room. Door into your closets. Door into every desire that's in your life. And say, Lord, if I've got an idol in here, I don't care how much I identify with it. I don't care how much I like it. Lord, I love you more. Take it. Destroy it. Burn it. Take it away from me, Lord. I want you to be my only love. Would you raise your hand and say, Lord, I declare that in my life. Lord, that I want you to be my only love. I want to be shut away with you. Oh, children, feel how close he is to you. Thank you, Lord. This isn't just a feeling. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just worship. Just worship with all your heart. You can sing, you can cry, you can praise, whatever you feel to do. Just show your adoration to him.
A longing in my heart.
Oh, yes, I do, Lord. I love you.
I love you so much, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yes, I'm longing. Yes, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.